Greetings and welcome to the Audio Tidbits Podcast Network. We hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you for choosing to join me for this episode of How to Matter, where to matter makes a difference, and to make a difference matters. In this episode of How to Matter, I'm going to continue our series on helping children with school and learning problems. This is section 9. It includes three signs that are highly interrelated. One of the things we know about children who have learning difficulties is that they seldom only have one issue. They seldom only have one problem. Rather, they tend to have a cluster of interrelated difficulties, and helping them requires that we understand and intervene with respect to all of the issues the child is experiencing. Ava is back with us today, and she is going to get us started with the first sign.
Children who are hyperactive or suffer from attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, have a lot of trouble handling criticism. They tend to be emotionally high-strung and overreact to things. They also are more likely to receive criticism and negative feedback from adults. All this adds to their frustration and stress to make it harder for them to handle criticism. They may experience criticism much like everyone else. They just do not hide their feelings as well. Children who need to be too perfect also have trouble with criticism. For them, even a small comment or suggestion may be hard to handle. They see it as an attack on them personally. If their work is not perfect, they see it as totally wrong. You might see one of these children destroy all the work he has done on a project if someone finds fault or suggests a way of improving it. It is perfect or it is junk. This would be the extreme, but degrees of the problem are not uncommon. Here is the point. If your child can handle criticism, he can manage almost any problem, including most learning problems. He accepts and follows tips and suggestions. If he cannot handle criticism, helping him is tough no matter what his problem is. Talk with him about the problem. Try to see how criticism feels to him. See what he thinks and feels when someone criticizes. Until you and he get past the problem, it will be hard to help, hard to deal with anything. This is the bind. Talking with him about the problem is itself criticism. You are criticizing how he handles criticism. This might work. You have me in a real bind. I have experience and know some good stuff. I learned most of it by doing things wrong and making mistakes. Here is my problem. Sometimes I see you learning the way I did. I see you are doing something wrong or in a way that doesn't work very well. I think it would be easier for you if I told you what I'd learned, but when I do, you get upset or bent out of shape. That makes me feel like, why bother? Should I say something or just let you learn the hard way?
It is very difficult to give anyone accurate feedback without somehow causing them to think that you are blaming or accusing or making some pejorative judgment about them personally. This is especially true for children. They simply don't understand why they had the difficulty they had. They have no idea what accounts for their problem. And any kind of criticism, any kind of indication that it's their fault is very, very frustrating for them. Since they don't understand why, then the explanation that they receive feels like, and that's the important fact, it feels like they are themselves being criticized. What we want to do, of course, is to make some judgment about their performance. But inadvertently, they feel like we're making a negative judgment about them as an individual. Let's consider another sign indicating how children sometimes deal with criticism, sometimes deal with negative feedback. Ava, can you go ahead and help us with that?
Does your child always have excuses for not doing well? This point is easy to miss. When children always have excuses for not doing well, the excuses are usually exactly what are causing the problem. They are usually right. They say they did not know what to do or did not understand. They say they forgot to do their work or say they thought they had done it right. They say they did not hear, and on and on. After a while, their excuses wear thin. It is easy for adults to get frustrated and just react. A better reaction is to take the youngster at his word. It is probably the truth. Listen to your child's excuse. Say, "I believe you. What you told me is exactly what happened. I also want you to learn the difference between an excuse and a reason. A reason is an explanation. An excuse makes it sound like it was okay. You're not doing well is not okay. Now that we understand the reason, we are going to figure out a way to keep it from happening. You say you did not do well because you did not hear the assignment. Let's talk about how to be sure you hear and understand assignments. Just be sure you stay calm and focused on the reason. It is a problem to solve and not an excuse for you to blame the child."
What's happening with these children? It's a very complicated process, but the simple version works like this. The child is having performance difficulties, and very importantly, the child knows he or she is having performance difficulties. The child struggles to figure out why he or she is having problems. The result? The child doesn't have a clue. He or she just simply can't figure out why these problems exist. Inevitably, the child gets some level of feedback that suggests it's his or her fault. The child is not trying hard enough, not paying close enough attention, not putting forth enough effort. The message is that at some level, the problem is inside the child. The problem is something that the child can control but isn't. Since the child intuitively knows that this is not true, he or she then looks for other explanations. Inevitably, and indeed quite reasonably, the child begins to look outside for explanations, for causes, for reasons. This process starts with excuse making, and the excuses are usually some mix of internal and external kinds of things. "I didn't understand, I forgot," and the most common response when a child is asked why, "I don't know." That is, of course, the literal truth. If this problem continues, for some children, it shifts to a different strategy. They begin to blame other people and other factors external to them for their difficulties. The problem is totally outside of them and outside of their control. Ava, will you expand on that for us?
Does your child think his not doing well is someone else's fault? This is an example of the last sign. Thinking it was someone else's fault is an excuse. After talking about the difference between excuses and reasons, you might say, "You think the reason you did not do well is your teacher's fault. Tell me how it is her fault. That is a good problem for you and me to solve." In another situation, you say, "Let me see if I understand. Your friend Joe mouthed off to you in the hall between English and social studies. This got you in a bad mood. Also, some kid was in your seat when you went into the room. This got you even more upset. You were telling him to get out of your seat when Mr. Miller came in. He got on your back, and that was too much. You said some things and he said some things and you ended up in the office. It went downhill from there and you are now on suspension." "Do I have it right?" The youngster says, "You have that right. It was Joe's fault." You then say, "Whose fault it was does not make much difference right now. The people at school think it was your fault. It doesn't really matter. Here is the problem. Whosever fault it was, you are the one with the problem. Let's think about the reasons why you now have a problem and figure out how you can manage and control things differently next time so you do not end up the goat. Of everything that happened, is there one thing that may not have been your best choice? Is there somewhere in there where you had a better choice if you had thought of it at the time? Your child's taking responsibility for his behavior can be a slow process but is necessary. The same holds for making better choices and decisions and not trying to blame others for his problems.
As we see, there are many reasons why children have learning and performance problems and difficulties. Additionally, children frequently, if not usually, have difficulty understanding why they are having those difficulties. They then struggle to understand and, in the absence of some acceptable explanation given by the adults around them, they come up with their own explanation. They usually start by looking inside themselves at their own behavior, at their own performance. Since they don't see, can't see, why that is causing the problem, they begin to look outside. From there, excuses and blaming others is a pretty logical transition. The key for us is not to question or directly criticize their explanation. Simply start with their explanation, their understanding, where they are today. Start by saying, "Let's go with your explanation." Accepting that is true, where do we go from there? How do you get to where you need to go, in spite of the fact that these external people and situations are interfering with your progress? I think between us, we can figure out a better way for you to get where you want to go.
I hope you found this episode of How to Matter helpful as you pursue making a difference with people who make a difference to you. I'm Dr. Gary Crow. My website is howtomatter.net. I hope we have a chance to visit again soon.